Hello everyone, this is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. Welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. We're glad you're with us here today on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And happy 4th of July to everyone, happy Independence Day, and God bless America. So we're glad you're with us here on this holiday weekend. Hope you had a good and safe 4th of July, and hope today that you make it to church. And if you don't make it to church, at least be in prayer and try to ask yourself, you know, why? To thine own self be true, right? They say that a lot in recovery. And, of course, many of you know that I'm in recovery. I've been recovering alcoholic for some over 25 years now, long time, and still go to meetings. And but there's much for us to learn, not only in the church and recovery, meditation, psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, pastors, clerics, people who we can meet with and talk with about the things that are going on in our own minds, the things that are going on, you know, not only the things that are going on in our lives, but what's going on inside of my head, inside of my mind, inside of my heart, and really discerning that. Discerning how I think, why I think, is it correct the way I think? You know, often I wonder, you know, how people can be so blinded with the differences between life and death, the differences between, you know, whether we're doing the right thing or not. But there are so many forces, including evil forces in the world, that and people and political parties will use people. We'll use tragedies. We see this a lot with the immigration crisis that is going on, that has been going on, my brothers and sisters. This is nothing new, okay? We all want to make it like it's something new because of the President Trump, but I don't believe that's true, my brothers and sisters. This was a problem when President Obama was in office, and every president since. See, we have to find a way to be honest with ourselves. To thine own self be true. And we have to be aware that both political parties, any of our brothers and sisters, people, including people of faith, you know, Christians, Muslims, Jews, people who can be misled, and then they repeat the lie. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about basically, you know, the Eighth Commandment. Seems like lately I've been talking about that a lot. But, you know, another presidential election is coming up. We have to first know natural law, right? Natural law. What is the natural thing? And, of course, to kill another human being, you would say, well, no, that's wrong. You can't do that. You can't do that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, too, you know, because one of the reasons why this country was founded, why the people came to this country, escaped to this country, was because of religious persecution. And not persecution by the Catholic Church, but persecution by the King of England. Persecution by kings and queens of their own countries, that they came to this country to not just have freedom, but to have religious freedom. See? Now, rightly or wrongly, we can make that a whole nother program, right? And I have my opinions on that too, you know, because we have human beings running these institutions, right? And the human beings can make mistakes, can't they? Yes. And they can make decisions for the wrong reasons, can't they? Yes, they can. And you know, we even have religious institutions today that think killing unborn children is okay. Killing children that are already born are okay. Religious institutions. Christian institutions that think that that's okay. And that's a breaking of natural law, my brothers and sisters. Doesn't have anything to do with religion. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with natural law. Many people would say, you know, cutting that tree down is wrong, you know? Like cutting that tree down, you're killing that tree. Well, yes, you're right. But why is that happening? And then you follow it all the way through. But of course, a human being is much more valuable than a tree. And there's another example of natural law. So we're going to go into that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to talk about Pope John Paul, theology of the body. What are our bodies for? What are our bodies meant for? And so if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. You can go to holyfamilyradio.net. There's a bunch of Catholic radio stations on there. Great information on the Catholic Church. Dr. David Anders, one of my favorites, and hopefully maybe have enough time to touch on his book, How the Catholic Church Saved My Marriage, which is just mind-blowing and beautiful. He's a convert to the faith. He was a Presbyterian down in Birmingham, Alabama, and converted to the faith. And, you know, some of the greatest witnesses of the faith today, my brothers and sisters, are converts, people who have come from other traditions, including the Muslim tradition, Jewish traditions, Baptists, Presbyterians, all different atheists. You know, it's quite amazing. And you can also go to my website, which is DeaconLouisZemlich.com. And, of course, not to forget our constant outreach to Save Nazareth, the SaveNazareth.com website. We ask you to share that on social media, to sign the petition. And, of course, we're going to be praying out there this next Saturday. So if you're not doing anything this next Saturday, the 13th, July 13th, please join us out on Gall Road and on the sidewalk there, which is a public area. You know, it's private property there, so we do not want to be on the property. And we want this as a peaceful, prayerful, hopeful thing that the management in Cleveland changes their mind about the tearing down of the historic Mother House and Chapel at Nazareth. So that's from 11 o'clock until noon on Saturday. So we hope you can join us out there for prayer and conversation, and hope that you can be with us. And that website again is SaveNazareth.com. So let's go right into the readings for today. This is July 7th, 2019, 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our first reading is from Isaiah 66, 10 through 14. Thus says the Lord, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her. All you who love her, exult, exult with her. All you who were mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. For thus says the Lord, lo, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings, you shall be carried in her arms, and fondled in her lap, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading there. Our next reading is, our second reading is from Galatians. This is Galatians 6, 14 through 18. Brothers and sisters, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither does circumcision mean anything, nor does uncircumcision, but only a new creation. Peace and mercy be to all who follow this rule, and to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make troubles for me, for I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today is the Gospel of Luke, Luke 10, 1 through 12, and 17 through 20. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he had sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, nor sack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for a laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to your feet, even that will shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.' The 72 returned rejoicing and said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name.' Jesus said, 'I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, that nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, so some great readings for us, my brothers and sisters. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. And my name is Deacon Louis Zimelik here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And we're glad you're with us here today. And happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Hey, happy 7th of July, right? And every Sunday, and I hope you're able to make it to Mass today, make it to church. If you're, you know, you're on the path, you're in another tradition, you know, consider the Catholic Church, the fullness of the faith, the fullness of the sacraments. All seven sacraments are given at the Catholic Church. Every week, every day, we receive Holy Communion, this bread of life come down from heaven. And last week, July 3rd was the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. And it is so beautiful and fascinating, my brothers and sisters. So beautiful in that scripture that it says, you know, blessed are those who have not seen and believed, but believe. And I think about my brothers and sisters of other faith traditions who do not have the Holy Eucharist, and how privileged we are to have the Holy Eucharist in the church, this Holy Communion, that we do see the Lord. We do see Jesus Christ in the flesh. Receive Jesus Christ in the flesh in Holy Communion. But blessed are those, blessed are my brothers and sisters of other faith traditions who do not see the Lord, yet they still believe. They have the power of the Word. They have the power of that Word, Jesus Christ. And that's a very powerful word, my brothers and sisters. And I hope and pray that you use it just as often as you possibly can. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And continue to use the power of that word, the power of his name, the power of the God incarnate that has come here to be our brother, to be our savior, to be our God. It is an amazing thing and a beautiful thing that we should continue to talk about and continue to pray about and pray through. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to the gospel. But our first reading from Isaiah, Isaiah 66:10 through 14. God is Father, and we are his children. But he can also represent motherhood. How about that? That God can also represent motherhood. And we see that in those readings, you know, and sometimes makes us a little bit uncomfortable when we hear these words, that we may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. For the Lord says, lo, prosperity will spread over Jerusalem like a river, right? And what do we have in this country, my brothers and sisters? We are so blessed. Do we have a lot of work to do? Absolutely. Has everyone been blessed in this country? Not yet. And that is up to us, my brothers and sisters, to try to bless other people. But it is very important that we say that word, Jesus. That we proclaim that word, Jesus, Jesus Christ, and making Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. Not our addiction, not our anger, not our hatred, and taking responsibility for our lives. If we are mothers and fathers, taking responsibility and being those mothers and fathers that we should be. So God is also pure spirit, right? God is not a man or a woman. God perfects these things, though. God perfects. Hear that? God perfects motherhood and fatherhood. God perfects it. Not us. We need God's help. You know how hard it is. You know, I saw some of our relatives over this last week, and I kept explaining and saying, you know, it is so important for us to encourage, especially as God, as a grandparent, to encourage our children, especially our children who have young children, to encourage them, to tell them. And of course, yes, of course they need to be doing a good job, but we need to help them and love them and teach them how to encourage them, just to say, you know, you're doing a great job. You know, not to be so critical, not to be so critical of our children, you know, but to be like God, perfecting these things in motherhood and fatherhood. And I just want to read this really quick here. In no way is God in man's image. He is neither man nor woman. God is pure spirit in which there is no place for the difference between the sexes. But the representative perfections of man and woman reflect something of the infinite perfection of God. Those of a mother and those of a father and husband and motherhood. See, so think about that, my brothers and sisters. Think about, are you an encourager? Do you encourage your children? Tell them they're doing a good job. And if they need improvement in this area or that area, they need help in this area or that area, are you helping them? Right? Or are you just being terribly critical of them? Please, be kind. Be merciful and help them. Then our second reading from Galatians. The sacrament is called baptism. And that's what they're talking about in here. These marks. This change that happens. And it comes from the Catechism 1214 of the Catechism. This sacrament is called baptism. Baptism means to plunge and to immerse into water. And the water symbolizes to the catechumens the burial into Christ's death, from which he rises up by the resurrection with him, a new creation, a new creature. Isn't that fantastic? Think about that, my brothers and sisters, how powerful that is. The marks of Jesus on my body. and to make that mark of Jesus. When we say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we make the sign of the cross upon our bodies. See? Understand that? And you can do that. Maybe you're not Catholic yet. But you can make the sign of the cross. Bless yourself. Be a blessing to yourself. Not a curse upon yourself, but a blessing upon yourself. And bless yourself in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Bless yourself. Be a blessing. And then our gospel reading, of course. Our gospel reading, very powerful. These 12 disciples share in Christ's mission. See how we're sharing here? We're baptized into Christ. See, our first reading, that we become perfect. Yes. Our motherhood and fatherhood and personhood can come to perfection through divine grace and the grace of the sacraments. See? It's so beautiful. Representing motherhood and fatherhood. And see, that happens through baptism. And then we go right into this gospel reading. But we are brought into this through our baptism, this mission. And many people may say, you know, well, I don't want to die. You're going to die. We're all going to die. But we become renewed. We die to self. We become renewed in Christ. We become this new creation. And so these 12 disciples share in Christ's mission and power, but also in his lot. Also in his crucifixion. And in a special way, we're formed in that way as religious, as deacons, as priests, as nuns, as sisters, as brothers, as devout and pious Christians. Especially those who take on the mantle of being virgins, those who take on the mantle of being brothers and being celibate. And that's the other thing. You know, this whole thing, you know, people say, well, it's a discipline, my brothers and sisters. And it's all throughout Scripture, these disciplines. We'll go into that at another point, but we've lost that in a certain sense. We think everything is about sex. It's not. Everything is not about sex. We think it is. We think it is. But it's not. It has almost become a total addiction for us. You see how people have become addicted. Addicted to sex. Addicted to pornography. It is quite destructive. As destructive and as corrosive as any drug. Absolutely. But in this gospel reading, this disposing of our will and doing the will of the Father from our hearts, Jesus calls his ministers to bring into their prayer this concern for cooperating with the divine plan. The competent authority determines these offerings in accordance with the principle that the Christian people ought to contribute to the support of the church's ministers. And to the church. Right? And to the church. And so we need to do that as well. We need to be supportive of the church. No, the bills don't get paid all by themselves. Right? And I understand some people say, well, you know what? I just don't want to do that. Fine. Give the money to the soup kitchen. Give the money to the ministry of community or the gospel mission. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when it's time for you to get buried, will there be a church there to bury you? See? You can't just sit at home your whole life and never support any part of the church. That's ridiculous to think that the church is going to survive and it's going to pay its bills just by money, you know, magically showing up. May not happen. See, so we bear a certain responsibility for that. So think about that too. From the beginning, Jesus associated his life with his disciples, revealing the mystery of the kingdom of God to them and gave them a share in his mission, joy, and sufferings. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Another thing I want to talk about today, too, is, of course, St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, of course, what are we going to talk about? Talk about sex, right? So this thing, and about learning about it, on how sex is a beautiful thing that God has given us. But it is for the appropriation of children. See? Not just our own selfish wants. See? So this is very good to read. This lust is the fruit of the breach of the covenant with God. In his general audience of the 30th of April, 1980, Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, continuing his catechesis on theology of the body, he examines the threefold lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life by which man broke God's original covenant. Very powerful. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that because you know what? It's all throughout the Bible. It's all throughout our lives. And we need to continue to talk about it. We need to continue to talk about this human condition of our bodies, right? And what our bodies are for. And of course, I want to talk just a little bit about the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, this under God, this one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. You know, that under God became, came into the pledge by the Knights of Columbus. Many people don't realize that. And of course, many people don't know what the Knights of Columbus is. So the Knights of Columbus, the KFC, started a long time ago by Father McGivney, and a big part of it was to help widows and orphans. For men who, you know, died in industrial accidents and that type of thing, which was very common back then, and their families had nothing. So they started this insurance, but the main thing is I want to talk about is in the early 1950s, they put forth a resolution to have that added in to under God, be added into the Pledge of Allegiance. And of course, it did get added in finally in 1953. And it's kind of cool that it was a congressman from Michigan, Louis C. Rabot of Michigan, adopted it in the House of Congress and was signed by President Eisenhower on Flag Day, June 14th, 1954. So it hasn't always been there, right? And another thing that, you know, we do is, you know, in Knights of Columbus, we also pray for the born and the unborn. And maybe someday, you know, that will become part of our pledge, you know, part of the greatness of this country. I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, we can do magnificent things. There are so many poor people in the world, you know, so many poor people in this country, but people who are living in India, people who are living in Africa, these some of these third world countries, El Salvador, some of these places where just a small amount of money, and Catholic Relief Services, CRS.org, does an amazing job. And you can, you know, say where you would like your money to go. But I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, we need to do more. This is the greatest and richest country in the world, and we have been immensely blessed. So I hope you can join us this next week. Go to SaveNazareth.com, and I hope you can join us for prayer this next week on July 13th, this Feast of Fatima. That's when we're meeting out at Nazareth. We'll be praying out in front of there out on Gall Road. From 11 o'clock till noon. We hope you can be there. You know, maybe pick up a yard sign. We'll have yard signs available out there for you to pick up. But really praying and go to the website, email, send emails to the management people at Sisters of St. Joseph, especially in Cleveland. Reach out to them, to the Pope, to anyone that you know in the church that can help us to keep the mother house and the chapel from being destroyed. It won't cost anything for the sisters. You know, it just would be wonderful if they could donate it. There's plenty of organizations who would love to have it. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all and happy 4th of July and God bless America. We love you.